This is Melody Fletcher from DeliberateReceiving.com, where the law of attraction finally makes some freaking sense. You're about to listen in on an actual coaching call on how to overcome issues with confrontation. If you like this kind of material, including a straightforward, no-nonsense, no BS style, then come over to DeliberateReceiving.com for more articles, blog posts, videos, and audios, all designed to help you not only understand the law of attraction, but actually implement it into your life, so that, well, you can annoy your family, friends, and coworkers with your newfound happy, shiny puppy happiness. Enjoy.
So the topic that we were talking about was speaking up, like wanting to speak up and not feeling like you can or not feel like you should. And so I wanted to get some details from you about maybe a situation where you felt like you couldn't speak up even though you wanted to and you just had to shut your mouth and, you know, hunker down, put your head down, get through it.
Right. Okay, I'll give you a perfect – actually, I have two examples because I was thinking about this over the last couple of days since I knew that I was going to be speaking to you. So one example, because in my comment that I had given to you was my feeling that sometimes people do things to be negative towards others, and they do, you know, definitely try to be negative, and, you know, whether or not they're trying to hurt people, whatever, you know. So I just have this feeling that sometimes I feel like people are trying to be negative, and it's difficult for me to speak up in that situation because I'm more so concerned with the basis for their negativity, and just I can understand very well where they're coming from, even though the product of where they're coming from is negative, and it may come, you know, they may be directing their negativity towards me, but I still understand where they're coming from. So I feel like in those situations, I don't really speak up because I feel like I know what's going on at the heart of the matter. So one of the issues that I have is, for instance, I'll just give a quick background. I work as a social worker at a health center, and there's a clerical staff at the health center as well. And one of the requirements is that I have a person's medical record, their chart, before I can see that person. So there's a couple of the people on the clerical staff that they make it kind of difficult for me. When the charts are located upstairs in the medical record room, and they're supposed to be retrieved by a clerical staff member and brought down to me but prepared in a certain way before they come to me. So I find myself not having my charts prepared correctly for me when they come down from the medical record room, if they come down at all. So I'll request a chart from a clerical worker, and either the chart won't be given to me or it won't be given to me in the proper manner. And okay. I am aware of how it should be done, and even though I have talked to my supervisor about it a couple times, and she has told me that it's supposed to be done a certain way, I still, for instance, don't have the whatever it is to challenge the person and say, you know, I know that the chart is supposed to come to me in a certain way and it's not being done. And then my understanding of the situation is kind of like what I wrote in the comment, is that, you know, I understand where the person is coming from, and that I
do. You feels like, do you, what, where are they coming from?
I feel like lots of times people hate their jobs, and for whatever reason, you know, I get the sense that a lot of the people who work on the clerical staff here hate their job because maybe it's like a service. It's more of a service position, like the administrative functions of the health center. And it requires doing a lot of things for other people who may have, you know, higher levels of educational attainment. So I'm kind of coming from the, I feel like people, what am I trying to say? I feel like I understand where that person is coming from, even though the behavior is negative and this is their job to do. I understand what it's like to hate your job and to resent the people that you are supposed to be helping. So when it's time for me to react, instead of thinking about the way that I'm feeling about the fact that my chart isn't, you know, given to me properly, I'm concerned myself more so with how that person feels about hating their job. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And there's so much in there. Okay. Okay. let me say a few things here. Oh, this is good. This is good.
Okay. Oh, so good.
Getting so much, getting so much. All right. First of all, you do not know how they feel about their jobs.
Okay.
You assume, you're assuming a whole lot of things here because you cannot ever know exactly where somebody's coming from. And this is why I stopped you when you said, well, I know where they're coming from. And that's why I stopped you because I, you know, it's entirely impossible for you to know exactly where that person's coming from. Now, it would be easier for you to sort of get an idea of where they're coming from if you had an in-depth, authentic conversation with them where they told you what their innermost feelings and beliefs are. I'm guessing you haven't done that.
No.
So you're projecting all kinds of things onto this person. Well, you know, and you're trying to understand them, and nothing is wrong with what you're doing. This is absolutely normal, particularly you being in the job that you're in. You're in a job where it is your function to put yourself in the other person's place and try to understand them and not judge them for it. So you're doing that, and you're looking at the person saying, well, you know, I bet you they hate their job. And so, but what's really happening is that you are not getting what you want. So you're getting a negative manifestation, which originates somewhere within you because it is a mirror to a belief that's going on inside of you. You would like to get the charts in a certain way, and you're not getting those charts in a certain way. And that is telling you something about you. But rather than address that, you're trying to find justification for why this person is doing what they're doing. Well, I just have to accept it because I can't say anything to them because they hate their job. And you know, and as well they should because it's a crappy job. I would hate it too if I was in their job.
Right.
You're sort of assuming, you see, there's so many assumptions because you're assuming that anybody in that job would have to hate their job.
Right. That's a good point. And I that's a very good point. But the reason why I feel like I know they do is because, and this is another thing that I do, is that I have done that job. Now, not specifically that job, but I've done the administrative jobs and I know how much I hated it.
You hated it. Right. You hated it. You were not right for that job, or the job was not right for you. That's a better way of putting it, yeah?
Okay.
So the job was not the joyful job for you. But that doesn't mean that every person out there in the world will feel exactly the same way about it that you would feel about it. You know, for example, I was an English teacher for a little while when I came to Barcelona because I thought I would travel around the world teaching English. So I thought, oh, perfect job. I'm going to leave the corporate life and I'm just going to be an English teacher. I'm going to be one of these hippies traveling around the world, teaching English, being free, yada, yada, yada. So yay. So 9 years ago, you know, I took a break from my corporate life and I became an English teacher. And the only problem with this is that I hated it. I hated every second of it. I loved the idea of it, the romanticism, but the actual job itself, I hated. Well, I still have friends today who adore it. It's the same damn job. The things that really bothered me about it didn't bother them at all about it because we're different people, and thank goodness. And there's somebody out there that will enjoy every job. There are people out there who love to be waitstaff. They adore the fact that they get to bring you food and see the smile on your face immediately, get that immediate sense of satisfaction. They don't have to wait 6 months for some project to come to fruition, or they don't have to coach somebody through something, you know, the way that you do with your social work. They don't have to have that frustration. It's an instant gratification. You either like your meal or you don't. You either like the service or you don't. And here's your tip to show you how much I liked it, or here's the lack of tip to show that I wasn't satisfied. There are people out there who love to be garbage men. Adore it. Most of us can't imagine that. But they love to get up early in the morning, get their job out of the way right away when it's all quiet in the city. They love being in the quiet of the city instead of the din. They love having their entire day free to go do whatever it is that they want to do. They love the fact that they get paid a lot. Some of them love the fact that they get to snoop through people's garbage. You never know what somebody loves about their job. And all you can say is, well, I would or I did hate that job. So you are placing all kinds of assumptions on them that you are then using to keep yourself from getting what you really want. Because you're putting them in a position where, well, I understand how they feel because you felt that way, but you don't really understand how they feel. You're assuming that you know how they feel. And it doesn't really matter how they feel. That's what the real point here is. It doesn't matter how they feel. It matters how you feel. You want your charts to be a certain way. The only problem is that you don't know how to make that happen. And so instead of trying to make it happen, because the only thing that you keep thinking is, well, if I go and talk to them, they're just going to get mad at me and get more resentful.
Right.
Am I right about that?
Yes.
You think the confrontation there would lead to a worse outcome.
Right.
And therefore, you're looking for a way to feel slightly better about it by kind of going, well, they're in a horrible place, so I'm actually being kind by not saying anything. Are you seeing that?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. The thing is, there is a way to get what you want. You just don't know what it is yet. You're assuming that you can't get what you want from these people. And so you're trying to find a way to feel better about it, because we're always trying to find a way to feel better about it.
Because, Melody, may I interrupt really quick? And,
yes.
And it's just, it seems like, I mean, a lot of people who work on the clerical staff, for instance, are very confrontational, very, as soon as anyone says anything about the way that their job is being done, it automatically turns into like a real argument, like a real problem. And I just don't.
Well, of course.
Well,
of course.
Right.
They are providing you the perfect opportunity because you have a problem with confrontation. So look at how perfect they are manifesting this for you. They're all cooperating to go, if you confront us, we're going to bite your head off. Bring it on, because you have a problem with confrontation. So what you need to mirror that is a group that has that's going to make it difficult for you to confront. If you had no problem with the confrontation, they would not be mirroring this back to you. It is a perfect manifestation. But you think that the solution would be, or the only option would be, for you to go put on your fighting gloves and get in there and go a few rounds. To kind of go there and say, listen, y'all, you need to do your jobs. I want my charts the way I want, or some version of that. And none of that feels good. Well, it doesn't feel good because that's not going to get you what you want. And you know it.
Right.
Do you think you're going to go there and you're going to talk to them, and no matter what you say, they're going to take it the wrong way?
Right. Yeah.
Because that's where they're coming from. So I don't even want to be mean, but I'm going to go there and they're going to think I'm a bitch. And that's how they're going to react. Because that's the kind of people they are. So again, you're seeing them, and you're seeing them in a certain light. And I promise you, what you are seeing of them is not the entire picture. You are seeing one narrow aspect of these people, the aspect that you can see through the lenses of your belief. The reason why I wanted to have this session with you, why I wanted to use you, I like that, I'm going to use you, is because you said, what if somebody is doing something negative to you on purpose?
Right.
Yeah. And I wanted to really address that, because that's not possible. And I'm going to explain that, because I know you're thinking, wow, they're, you know, of course it's possible that someone's going to go, I'm going to be difficult for that person because I don't like her.
Right.
But even when somebody is doing that, they're not really doing it on purpose, in terms of they don't see all the options that you see. They do not see, well, I could cooperate, and, you know, what it is that I really want is for me to enjoy my job. So I could cooperate and make my job away, you know, have such a perspective on my job that I can enjoy it. Or I could be a total dick about it and screw with everybody else and then get some, you know, perverse joy from that. They don't see those options, so they're not making that choice.
Okay.
The choice that they're making is sit here, powerless. And you're probably right. These people probably do hate their jobs.
Yeah.
Again, it's kind of irrelevant for you at your point of view, but they probably do hate their jobs. So what they're doing is they're sitting there feeling powerless because they're in a position that they don't like, which is their choice, but they often don't see that. And they're sitting there, and they're, you know, their choices for them, the only choices that they see, the options that they see, is sit there powerless and take it, or take a little bit of power back and screw with people.
Right.
By not doing little things that are just under the wire, so they're not going to get fired for them.
Right.
And then
yeah.
also be really difficult about it so that nobody says anything.
Oh, goodness, do you work here? It seems like you work here.
I'm reading your energy.
Oh, my goodness. It's
yeah?
crazy, because I'm just like, I'm just so opposite than that. You know, I'm just so, because my, when I first started, saw that this was going to be a problem, my thing was, I was telling people, you know, whenever I had a chance, well, why don't you go back to school? Or, you know, why don't you see if you can, you know, do something different? Every time I have an opportunity, I'm trying to convince some of the nicer ones, well, why don't you just go back to school? Or, you know, and so what you're saying is just so true. It's just like, it's so true. It's so true. It's amazing.
Yeah, and you are an uplifter. You want them to feel good.
Yeah.
You know, you want them to feel good. So you see them in this powerful place, powerless place, and whether you're doing this consciously or not, it doesn't matter. You're seeing them in this powerless place, and so you're trying to do the only thing that you see, because you don't see all your options either. Yeah? So the options that you see open to you is going and confronting them and probably making it worse, but also making them feel worse. Because here you've come with your authority and you've smacked them down once again and they're already powerless. Let's make them feel more powerless. Or just let them have this one. Oh, just let them have this one. I guess I'll put up with the charge not being done because I don't want to make them feel even worse about their job. You're coming from a good place. Yeah. That's why I said there's nothing wrong with what you are doing. And yet it doesn't feel good because there's a little bit of resentment in you. Why can't they just do their damn jobs?
Right. Why do I have to go upstairs and get my own chart?
Exactly.
So why do I have to ask 2 and 3 times for the same thing? But it's just making me uncomfortable and it's just making you uncomfortable. You know, it's like, why can't we just work together and everybody will be happier?
And then you feel guilty about being resentful.
Yeah.
Because you're a good person and you shouldn't feel resentful. You know what's wrong with them. You know where they're coming from. And it's the first thing that you said, well, I know where they're coming from. And that is your whole thing. I know where they're coming from. I can't make them feel worse. But what you're not seeing is a whole bunch of other options where you can feel better. And where they aren't going to feel worse or possibly are going to feel better. Now, it is not your responsibility to make them feel better, nor can you make it your responsibility because you can't force anybody to feel better.
Right.
And you've learned that.
Yeah.
In your career, you've learned that. Some people are just not going to go. Or they're not going to go right now. They are where they are. And you can talk to them all day and you can give them all the options. You can lay out to them, you could go back to school. Look at how great your life could be. And they're like, yeah, that sounds really great. And then the next day, they're right back where they were. They had that glimmer of hope while you were talking to them. And then they go right back to their miserable pit of sewage, you know, that is where they are right now. And you can't force them to come out until they're ready to come out. And it is not your job to do that. They have their inner being for that. You don't need to get involved in that. You don't need to get involved in that process. Your job is to make yourself feel good. And of course, that does not mean a selfish bitch and running all over everybody, because that would not feel good to you. That is not who you are. You know, because people right away go, oh, so I'm supposed to walk over bodies? Does that feel good to you? No, it doesn't. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah? What feels good to you is finding a resolution to this. And before you can do that, you have to feel, first of all, that there is a resolution to this, because you've resigned yourself to the fact that there isn't. There's no way to fix this, and so therefore, I just gotta take it.
Yeah.
And I'll keep focusing a little bit on how much they hate their jobs and why they're doing this and how there's nothing I can do about it, but on the other hand, I also feel resentful. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm just going to say that, and what I always do in almost every situation that involves like having some type of confrontation is I convince myself that it really doesn't matter because
right.
I am above this mentally, and you know, it's just
exactly
petty. It really doesn't matter.
And mentally you are, but emotionally you're not. Because if you really were above it, it wouldn't be bothering you at all.
Right.
So you can be above it mentally and go, I'm going to take the high road. I'm going to be the better person. But emotionally, and you're denying these feelings, which does not help, because you're ashamed of these feelings, because you should not have these feelings, because you're better than that. I should not resent these people. I should not feel this way about these people. And so therefore, I'm going to pretend like I'm not. That's called denial.
Okay.
And it doesn't feel good. It's pretending that you feel a way that you don't actually feel.
And it sucks.
And it comes from a noble place. But it's still denial. You're still lying to yourself. And the thing is, there's nothing wrong with the feelings that you're having. The feelings that you're having are perfectly valid. You never need to be ashamed of your feelings. Your feelings are a feedback mechanism letting you know that the way that you're looking at this is not serving you. And that in itself is your clue that there is another way to look at it. And that's what you keep cutting out of the equation. You keep thinking that there's no other option because you can't see one. That there's no way to fix it. There's no way to feel better about this, so you have to push it away because it doesn't feel good. So, of course, you push it away. You don't want to feel like that. But there is another option. There are many, many options. And there is a way for you to fix this. Now, whether you fix it by really getting to the point where you've made your peace with it and it truly does not bother you that the charts aren't coming the way that you want them to, or you make your peace with it by lining up with the solution that actually gets you the charts the way that you want to have them, it doesn't matter. The goal is for you to feel better, feel truly better, not just pretend to feel better.
Right. Yeah, that's important. That's an important part of it, is that I want to feel better about it, not just tell myself, okay, well, it doesn't matter, because it does matter, and I need the charts to be done a certain way. I mean, I really need them to in order for me to do my job properly.
And it bugs the crap out of you.
And it bugs me.
Because it's such a little thing.
It's such a little thing.
When the charts are not done, what is it that you're feeling?
I'm feeling like, once again, people take my kindness for weakness. And they know that I won't say anything about it because I'm too nice, and because they know that I won't say anything about it because they have tried it over and over again, and each time I haven't said anything. So that's the feeling that I can recognize that I have, because I feel like that a lot in a lot of different aspects of my life, that people take my kindness for weakness. So
there
I think because I read, when I first read your blogs that Monday morning or whatever it was, I recognized that immediately, that I'm projecting my own feelings onto that person, and my real feeling behind it is that, once again, someone is taking my kindness for weakness.
There you go. You feel taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're not a weak person, and you don't want to be seen as a weak person. You're being nice. And then you resent being nice because you almost feel like it's an obligation for you to be nice. Because
right.
You yourself haven't made peace with how to be nice without being taken advantage of. And you feel deep down like maybe being nice means sometimes taking one for the team, letting it go, not
right.
Pretending like it doesn't bother you because, well, you're nice. And I'm betting that being a nice girl was very much rewarded when you were growing up.
Yeah.
It was important that you were nice, above all. Put your own feelings on the back burner and be nice.
Right.
And that's exactly what you're doing here. You are putting your own feelings on the back burner because you think that the only two options are be nice and basically be a doormat, or be a bitch and go pound on the table and say, do your frickin' job already.
Right.
And these are not the only two options. But many of us feel very strongly, you know, we grew up hating, particularly women, hating confrontation and thinking confrontation has to be ugly. And one of the reasons that we feel that way, and I pointed this out in my article, I believe, it's been a little while since I wrote it, but that we wait to confront until the issue is so big and so ugly and we're so resentful and so angry that the only option left to us is to blow up and be the bitch. Because at that point, we've had enough, damn it, and we're finally willing to say something. No more Mrs. Nice Guy. And yet, you can have, you know, much better confrontations well before that point ever comes.
But how do you see, and the part that the actual confrontation itself is
right.
What I am always forecasting worry on. You know,
right. And that's your problem. You're actively visualizing it going badly. When you think of the confrontation, the first thing you think of is, oh my God, it's going to be ugly. Oh my God, they're just
going to.
Yeah.
Melody, I stutter. I have like, okay, see, this is, in a regular normal conversation, no problem with stuttering. But as soon as it starts to take a turn where I am now on the spot speaking up for myself, sweating profusely, I start to get hot, like literally from within, I can feel heat,
mm-hmm.
sweat, stuttering. I mean, it's
you have anxiety.
Yeah.
That's anxiety. That's sweating and that's anxiety.
Yeah.
Adrenaline is pumping through your system because.
Right. My heart is beating. I'm just like,
yeah.
I can't form a sentence almost.
Yep. This is a big issue for you.
Yeah, it is.
This is a big issue for you. You don't like confrontation. You are afraid of what? What are you afraid of? What's going to happen? Let's go down that road just for a couple of minutes, not for very long, because it's not a nice road. But so you confront these people, and there you are sweating and shaking, and in your vision, what happens?
In my vision, I guess what happens is, if we're at work, I wouldn't assume that someone would physically, like, attack me, like, threaten me or something like that.
Okay.
So I guess that's not a concern. But I think my concern, I'm afraid of looking like I don't know how to deal with confrontation. You know?
Okay.
I mean, I'm afraid because, I think that's part of it. I'm afraid of the physical reaction that I usually get, which is the stuttering. And I think it's probably three things. The physical reaction, the actual act of being mean, of being mean, even though I'm just speaking up for myself, it still seems like it's being mean.
Right.
And then I guess the other person's response. I feel like I'm afraid of their response being more aggressive than I am assertive.
And like you can't handle it.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how to react. Like I wouldn't know what to say.
So, like, you go to them and you pull yourself together and you say, you know, in whatever way, in your vision, can you please, you know, do these charts? And they look up at you and say, bite me. And now you don't know what to say. Or they say, whatever. You know what? I don't have time for this. Or do them yourself.
Right.
Or why can't you do them? Whatever their response is, you know, because I don't think that you've ever really thought through what their responses might be. But in your head, whatever their response is, it's probably going to be something that now you're like, oh, God, I don't know what to – I don't have a comeback.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, again, it's going to be adversarial. Clearly, they're going to be defensive, and they're going to come at you.
Right.
And you are not certain at all, particularly because you have – anxiety coming up, and then you might stutter, so you might have the perfect comeback in your head, but you can't get it out, or your mind's going to go blank in that moment, and oh God, the stress of it, and of course you're afraid of confrontation. Look at the vision you've created around it.
Yeah. Wow.
Let's work on a different vision. What if you went, and now, let's not get specific, just stay general, what if you went to work one day, and all the charts were delivered on time, perfectly done. I know your mind right now is going, how the hell would that happen? Push that aside and just stay with it for a minute. It's uncomfortable because you haven't really imagined it very long. It's a new thought. You haven't allowed yourself to go to this thought because you think, well, it's not possible anyway. So might as well. It's more painful to think of it when I know I can't have it. But just for a minute, pretend like it is possible. What if you went to work and there are the charts and they're just done? Oh, isn't it nice when we're all working together? Everyone's cooperative. Oh, I like the people. I love the administrative staff. They do such a good job for me. I'm so glad that they're to support me. Are you getting a little bit of that feeling? I can feel you.
Yeah.
Feels better.
Yeah.
Working way into it.
I'll work actively on stopping this thought from coming to my head. But the first thing that I think about when I start thinking, okay, well, I came to work one day and all the charts were done properly, is I feel really bad about the fact that I had to say something for them to get this done.
Okay,
that's the first thing I felt.
Okay, so in the vision, let's include that, and I didn't have to make it happen myself. The problem worked itself out. Problem worked itself out. Oh, I'm so glad this problem was solved. I'm so glad that the administrative staff, they are now feeling better. They're happier. They're doing their jobs. They're there to support us. Everything worked out beautifully. There was no ugly confrontation. Make that part of your vision, because that's the part that props up that didn't feel good. So you find a way to soothe that. Oh, it didn't have to be me. In fact, However it happened, and how it happened is not important right now. It was peaceful. It was easy. They did not get their feelings hurt.
Wow.
Doesn't that feel better?
It does. It really does.
And then you sort of stay with that. And if something else pops up, you soothe that too. Again, you see you thought the option is I have to go talk to them. Maybe you don't. Well, I've already talked to my boss. Oh, too specific. It happened. Doesn't matter how it happened. It happened peacefully.
Okay.
Easily. Oh, that feels so much better. You see how much better that feels?
It does. It really does.
So you stay with that for a while. And if you stay with that for a while, and then every time you come into work and there's the charts not done. Okay. So you're thinking, well, that's reality. Slapping me in the face. How am I supposed to have my vision? You know what? And just go, oh my God, I can't wait for the day when this is resolved. It's on its way to being resolved. The resolution is coming into line right now. And then it's not evidence that it hasn't happened yet. It's just, it's on its way. It's on its way. It's coming. It's coming. The cogs of the machine are all slotting into place. And it's coming. It's on its way.
Wow, that feels much better. It really does.
That's because these are higher vibrational thoughts. But they're thoughts that you have access to. We haven't gone to everybody loves their job and I made it happen. We just found some thoughts that feel better. We can work our way up those thoughts. And you stay with those for a while. And if you stay with those for a while, and you see, we've spent 2-3 minutes now on better feeling thoughts. Yeah. And already you feel the relief of it. 2-3 minutes. That's it. So this is that hours and hours and hours and hours of work. We defined the problem, figured out where you were. That took a few minutes. And then moved to a better feeling thought. So you have to figure out where you are, which means had to figure out how you feel. You had to admit to your feelings. Yes, I feel resentful. Yes, it bugs me. Because you've been sitting there the whole time going, this doesn't bug me. It shouldn't bug me. So I'm going to pretend like it doesn't bug me. Damn it, it bugs me though, but I'm not going to pretend. But you had to admit it to yourself. Didn't have to admit it to me. Had to admit it to yourself.
Right.
Because you have to know where you are before you can move further. And then we found a better feeling thought. And then from there, we found an even better feeling thought. And as you visualize, that's you creating with your energy. You're creating a visualization. It is real. It's just not yet in the physical, but it is real. And that's why those beliefs that you have are going to pop up. You felt the belief pop up. It came and it said, but it means that I had to make it happen and I don't want to have that confrontation. That feels bad. Boom, there it was. Giving you an opportunity to say, oh, how do I soothe that? Okay, so how about I didn't have to make it happen? Yes. Oh, do you see the process?
Yeah, definitely.
So as you visualize that, more stuff might come up. But when it does, don't go, oh my God, see, I'm failing. Go, now I can shift that too. And as I shift one after the other, after the other, it starts to feel bad. And this is how you're aligning with your vision. Now, you haven't figured out how to do it yet. Or if you even need to do it. That's not your job. That's the universe's job. Now, if action from you is required, you will be inspired to it. And I do think there's a possibility that you might be inspired to action here because this is a big problem for you. And I think that you have manifested this group of people into your life in order to help you overcome this issue.
Yeah.
With confrontation.
That is so true. That's one of the reasons why I'm so grateful for this job. It came to me out of the blue, and I really feel like it is just changing me in so many ways. I'm just learning so much about myself through this job, just having to deal with people who have completely different personalities than I do. So that's so accurate. You know, I'm so grateful for this job, you know, for the fact that I was unemployed before I had the job, then also just as much as I'm learning about myself and just pushing myself farther than I've ever gone.
Well, and your your clients are manifestations for you too. You know that.
Yeah, definitely.
They are manifestations for you. They are, you know, sometimes in very subtle ways, sometimes in, you know, absolutely brutal ways where you find yourself dealing, you know, they have an issue that you also have and that you are actively working on. Because by helping them, often when you help somebody else, you're able to access higher frequencies than you are for yourself, because your own resistance isn't being triggered the same way. And then once you've brought forth the answer for them, then you can go, oh, yeah, this is for me too. That's my answer right there. It happens. And sometimes it's just in the subtlest of ways where, you know, it just somehow made you feel good to work with this person, or, you know, but they're always manifestations. They're not always manifestations of resistance. You know, sometimes their resistance will not match your resistance, or, you know, it doesn't always have to be an ugly coworker, an ugly client. Sometimes the manifestations, you know, there's positive manifestations too. Let's not forget about those, you know, but every one of your clients is a manifestation. So if you have an absolutely brilliant client that you know, that you really click with, that you really enjoy, that's a manifestation too. That means you're a match to these brilliant clients that are, you know, that you're drawing people to you that you can help, because you can't help everybody. You know, but you want those people to come to you that you can help. And whether they come to you through the system, it doesn't matter. Energetically, they're coming to you, specifically to you. You are their caseworker for a reason, and they are your client for a reason. And all of those people, at some point in their lives, they're going to need to deal with confrontation. And so the better you are at it, the more you'll be able to help them with it. And confrontation really is just about finding the right perspective. And the right perspective is not that I'm going to go to war. And if you look at how we tend to confront in our world, particularly in the United States, I have to say, as a nation, we shoot first and ask questions later. Right. And so this is what we, you know, a large part of our view is, confrontations are volatile, and may the strongest man win, or the one with the biggest weapons, or the one with the most power, or the one with the higher level job,
or the one with the most aggressive personality.
Exactly.
Because I had someone tell me a couple of days ago that I wasn't aggressive enough, and my first reaction was to just start explaining how, what I wanted to say was, I'm not interested in being aggressive. Assertiveness is what I'm really going after. But again, I didn't have the whatever it takes to speak up. I just let her say that, and I stewed about it, and I just felt upset about it. But the reality is, I'm not trying to be aggressive.
But you think that you have to, and that's why you manifested that conversation. You're not entirely comfortable not being aggressive. You don't want to be aggressive, but you think maybe you have to. And so you manifested somebody that says to you, you have to be more aggressive. But then you felt the offness of that. But you haven't yet completely made peace with it, which is why you didn't have a comeback. And which is why it felt bad to you when she said it. If you'd made peace with it, if somebody came up to you and said, you know, said something to you that absolutely did not matter at all, you know, something that you have no insecurities about, you know, if your eyes are brown, for example, and they came to you and said, you know, I hate brown-eyed people, and it was just some dork on the street, you'd be like, okay, thanks, whatever, you know, would not matter to you at all. The reason that it bothers you is because you have a belief inside you that maybe you have to be aggressive to get ahead. Maybe you have to be aggressive in order to have confrontations. And you don't. You don't. You do not have to be aggressive. In fact, once you figure out how to confront people without being aggressive, aggression is the lowest form of confrontation, because it will always cause defensiveness. And when you are aggressive, when you go into a confrontation aggressively, you are, number one, assuming that the other person is purposely doing to you what they are doing to you, that they are your enemy. You have made them your enemy with that assumption. You're not even giving them a chance. You're not willing to see their side point of view at all, their side of it. You're not validating their side of it. Their side of it is wrong, because it is not your side. Whatever their point of view is, it is wrong. And a lot of people, you know, look at confrontation this way. And we think, well, I guess that's how it has to be. I just have to bully people into doing what I want them to do. And a lot of people manage their staff this way. I'm the boss. You do what I say. And if you don't do what I say, I'll yell at you. And I'll get louder. And I'll get aggressive. And then I'll punish you. And then I'll fire you because I have all the power and you don't have any of it. So I get to bully you. Now, sure, you can manage your staff that way and you can manage your coworkers that way. But is it the best way? Absolutely not. You do not get the best out of people by dealing with them this way. And you do not get the best solution in confrontations by dealing with people this way. You might bully that other person into getting what you want, but what you have not done is really lined up with the best possible solution. And when you go in with aggression, you're not even aware of the best possible solution. You think the only solution then is to beat that person down enough so that they capitulate and they do what it is that you want. But you, on some level, know that that's not the best solution. And that's why it feels so off to you. Yeah, you don't want to beat people into the ground.
I don't. I want to build people up. And it sounds so, I mean, I hate to say it, but in this society that we live in, it just sounds corny to say that to somebody. It sounds so, what's the word that I hear people use all the time? Like new age, like the whole conversation about the universe and the law of attraction. It just sounds so, some people just have no, they don't buy into it at all. So when you try to explain to a person, like, look, you know, I didn't explain it to her, but my first thought, of course, is, well, number one, I'm not trying to be aggressive. Number two, I'm trying to work on being assertive. But then, like you said, in the back of my mind, I just feel like there, a certain level or a certain smidgen of aggression is needed. But I just right. can't bring myself to be that person. And I don't want to be, you know. But
and you don't have to be. But you haven't yet proven to yourself that you don't have to be. And that's why you're not quite comfortable. Let me give you another scenario with these coworkers. So you go to them, and I'm not saying that you have to be the one to do this. I'm giving you a different option that you may never have seen as a thought exercise. So treat it as a thought exercise. Don't get all, oh God, now I have to go down and talk to them. No, you don't. This is just a thought exercise. It's a visualization, okay? Mm-hmm. So you go to them and you talk to them, you know them, you know, and it's all friendly and everything. And as you talk to them, you bring up in conversation and go, not confrontational, not with a bitchy, passive-aggressive tone because you haven't let it build up, and just say, listen, can I ask you something? What's the deal with the reports? I mean, it's such a small thing, but, you know, I notice that you guys often don't, you know, do them. And I know that you know how to do them because you guys are really good at your jobs. Yeah. So, you know, the only thing I can think of is it can't be an oversight because you guys are too good for that. So what's the deal? Is it that you don't have enough time or is it too stressful? Or is there anything that I can do to help you? Because it would really help me if you did this. So if I can help you in some way, you know, that would really help me. So can we help each other out here? And do you see how that approach, that cooperative,
yeah.
mm-hmm. I'm not assuming that you're being an asshole for yeah. not doing your job. I'm assuming that you have a valid reason. Maybe you're too busy. Maybe you're completely overwhelmed. And this is the one thing that you can't get to, but it's also the way that sends a message that you're overwhelmed. Maybe they're doing it on purpose, but with a really valid reason from their point of view.
Right.
So what's the reason? I know that you're not incompetent. I know that you're not an asshole. You're trying to do a good job, and they are. From their own point of view, they are.
Yeah.
So what's the deal? What can I do to help? You know, so instead of going to the manager to complain about them, go to the manager with a solution. You know what? The administrative staff needs this and this and this. They've been suffering from, I have no idea what their problem could be, but this and this and this, and it might be something really solvable. Or if you just try, even if you can't get the problem solved, if you're on their side instead of against them, if you're on their side, you'll get a very different response from them. So going and attacking them and saying, hey, listen, you guys are not doing your jobs. Ooh. If somebody came to you and said that, even if you were doing it on purpose, what would your reaction be?
Yeah.
Dick.
Be angry. Yeah. Exactly.
Even if you wouldn't say anything, if you're not a confrontational person, maybe you wouldn't say anything back, but in your head, you'd be thinking, yeah, that's right, and you're never getting a report again, even if I do start doing them, you know, I'm going to see if I can spit in your coffee, you know. You would right. not be wanting to cooperate with this person, but that is what aggressiveness gets you. Aggressiveness leads to defensiveness, and when you have one person, you know, basically, you start to have a fight. There can be no cooperation, but what you want is not to come out the big man, the big woman. You don't want to win. What you want is for your reports to get done.
Right, that's all.
And for everybody to sort of be okay with it, for there to be no ugliness. Well, you're not going to get that by being aggressive, and you know it. And this woman who told you to be more aggressive, screw her.
Yeah. That is so true. Oh, my goodness. I wanted to say, it's like the words don't even come to my mind until later. You know, it's like I'm almost trying to agree with what she was saying. And then I thought to myself later on, like, but wait a minute, that is fundamentally against everything that you stand for. You know in your heart that you don't want to be aggressive. Why didn't you just say that?
Because what you had in that moment was a gut reaction based on the beliefs that you have. And that gut reaction is what told you what's going on within you, which is that you still have a doubt that maybe you do have to be aggressive.
Or at least that maybe I don't want people, I don't want to seem like I am not interested in what other people feel like is important in order to be successful. And other people see that aggression is important to be successful, so I don't want it to seem like I don't think that that is important.
But just because they haven't figured it out doesn't mean that you can't.
Yeah.
And the way to do this is not to try to convince them. They're not going to get it until they get it. You can't right. talk them into it. Just as much as them, they could talk to you all day about how aggressive you have to be, and in your gut you're thinking, but I don't want to be aggressive. If they're convinced that this is the best way forward, you're not going to convince them otherwise. But what you can do is you can demonstrate it over and over and over again. And as you demonstrate it to yourself, you also begin to demonstrate it to them, and you start to have very different results. It works. But first of all, you have to get on their side. The administrative staff is not against you, and you are not against them. And it doesn't matter if they feel like they're against you. You're not against them, and you have to get that right. straight in your head. You are not their enemy. You and they are working towards a common goal. They may not know what that common goal is. So if you are the boss of them, then it is your job to bring them in on that picture. And even if you're not the boss of them, and you're their coworker, it's the same thing. Because the only reason that people take solace in being somebody's boss is because they feel like it gives them power. But again, that's that adversarial thing. If you don't want to do what I want you to do, then I can make you what I want you to do because I'm your boss. But if you approach employees and coworkers the same way, that it's cooperative. I'm not going to make you do anything. I can't make you do it. Right. How about we work on it so that you want to do it, so that you understand the importance of doing it? That we're both on the same side working towards the same goal, and that I give you the benefit of the doubt that you're an intelligent person who wants to do a good job. This is one of the most important points of view that you can take, is that everybody at your job wants to do a good job. And if they are not, it is only because they feel that they are not allowed to because of some major obstacle in their way. And companies are very, very good at this, putting obstacles in people's way. And if you take obstacles out of people's way, they will rise to the occasion and they will do a good job because everybody wants to have a sense of satisfaction. Everybody wants to feel like they're doing a good job. Everybody wants to feel like they're making a difference, like what they do matters. Everybody wants that. Yeah. Many people don't feel like they can have it, and so they're reacting from that point of view. Many people feel like they're not allowed to do a good job, like somebody is actively keeping them from it, and they're right. And then they're reacting from that point of view. But everybody deep down wants to do a good job. And if you honor that desire in them and you focus on that desire in them and you work with them from that point of view, you will get a very different response than if you come at them with aggression.
Yeah. Wow. That is so true. this has been so great, Melody. Thank you so much.
We covered a lot.
I know, and the crazy thing is that I would have sworn that I knew all of this already. I thought I knew all of this.
But you did. I'm only reminding you of something that you already know. I don't ever tell anybody anything that they don't know, because if you don't know it, you can't hear me. The only reason that you can hear me is because you were so close vibrationally. And all I did was sort of help you find a fine tuning.
Yeah.
So it's like you were hearing it in the distance and I made it louder. That's all. That's all.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I really do see a change coming. I really do. I know it's going to take work, and it's going to take.
It takes focus. It takes focus. No, focus on the mindset. Focus on the vision. Don't focus on the action. Let the action present itself. Let the action come. Let yourself be inspired to the action. If you're still having trepidation about going and having a conversation, don't have the conversation.
Right. Okay.
Yeah? Then you need to work on your vision some more, because then what you're doing is, if you have trepidation and you're scared to go talk to somebody, what you're doing is you're actually visualizing it going bad. In your head, you're expecting it to go bad.
And I thought I'd never do that. I thought that I always expect good things. But, wow, that's true. Why does it have to go bad?
It doesn't. And so I've given you one possible way out of many where you could actually have that conversation and yet it would be cooperative and not ugly. And that is just one possibility. It doesn't have to play out like that. But I do think that this is your manifestation, so that you can hopefully make peace with confrontation. And so I'm actually hoping that you get the opportunity to have a conversation like this, because I think once you do, you will have proven to yourself, and that will give you the strength to also, when somebody comes to you and says, you should be more aggressive, that you say, well, you know what? That doesn't really work for me. I found a way that works better. And to have confidence in that, because you know it does.
Wow. That'll be a step. That'll be a big step. But I can do it.
Of course
I
you can.
I can do it.
You would not be giving these challenges if you couldn't do it. It's time for you to make peace with this. It's time for you to overcome this. Don't try to do it all in one day. And focus on the vision. Focus on lining up your energy first, the way that we did on this call. You feel better because you lined up your energy. This is the important thing, you know, is my words to you were not nearly as important as the energy that I was streaming to you.
Right.
And this is what, you know, this is something that you can keep in mind with your social workers as well. How you view your clients, how you look at them, your attitude towards them, the energy that you are streaming, which has a lot to do with how you focus on them, which version of them you focus on, has a lot more to do with how much they benefit from your help than the actual words that you're using. So when you're focusing on your clients, if you focus on them as though they are healthy and happy and they've already made it, you will be giving your energy to their inner being that is calling them up and knows precisely how to call them up. And the right words will come to you because that's what you're aligning with. Rather than you trying to figure out, what do I say? What do I do? And they will be inspired to wherever they need to be inspired to. Because that's not really your call. You don't know what the best solution is. Should they go back to school or not? Should they, you know?
Right.
But getting them to feel better, getting them to feel empowered so that they can see their choices, they can see more options, that's how you really benefit people.
Yeah.
You know, and when you focus your considerable energy, because you do not have a small energy, when you focus on your energy, well, you're part of the group that's waking up now. Why do you think that is? You have a job to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's so true. I feel like this is like, I don't know. I just feel like it's my. I just feel like it's what I was put here to do, is just help people.
You weren't put here to it. You chose to be here for that.
Yeah.
Wow. This was not assigned to you. You eagerly came in saying, "Yes, I want to be a light that shines so brightly that everybody else gets enlightened by it."
Yes.
That's what you came here for.
Yes. Wow.
And the life you've had so far is all about getting you to grow into that light.
Yeah.
and you are digging your way out of some dark energies, because there are still a lot of dark energies that are present on this globe. But you're digging your way out when many are not yet, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with being at any level. There's no detriment to anybody, you know. But you are waking up now. And there's a reason for that. So when somebody comes to you and says, you need to be more aggressive, or you need to do this, or you shouldn't be so positive because it's kind of naive or immature or any of that crap, right, just realize that that's their point of view from a lower frequency. And that's okay for them. But you have attained more clarity than that. And so your major job, your only real job, is to shine as brightly as you can, to know what you know, and to feel as good as you can. And in doing that, you will enlighten the path for others so they can find their way to their own light. You're not getting them to find their way to your light. You're helping them find their way to their own light.
Wow, that reminds me of a poem, and if you don't mind, I'll send it to you.
Definitely.
It's just this poem. It just speaks to me and everything that I am working on, and just the confidence that I'm trying to manifest and everything. So if you don't mind, I'll send it to you. It's so perfect. I'll send the poem to Melody.
Thank you very much for this, and I think you're right. It will benefit a lot of people.
Thank you so much for just suggesting it. So I'm just really grateful for you taking the time to talk to me now. I mean, you've started something that I'm sure I'm going to be able to just take and run with. And then hopefully, I mean, maybe, I don't know, your coaching, how does that work? How do I maybe do it more often, and pay for it?
You can go through my site. I'll send you the link to the coaching packages, and then you just buy one session, or you can buy a monthly session, which is three sessions, and that comes with email coaching. And then we have these kinds of calls as often as you like. I mean, it really is up to you. I don't, tell you how to schedule it. I have clients
right.
that I talk with every week for a number of weeks, and I have other clients that that I talk with once a month. And so then they have a month to sort of process it. And it really depends on what you need and where you want to go. And it's not like therapy where you need to spend the next 5 years talking to me. We generally
right.
work on very specific things. And then often what happens is people take a break, and then maybe they come back a few months later. They're like, okay, I discovered something. I want some help with this. And then we work
right.
through it. And then they go away, because you want some time to process this. But one thing before you go, I wanted to point out to you is, you said thank you for offering or suggesting this. You understand this was a manifestation for you, right?
I mean, it's just amazing how things happen for me. And I mean, it just really is, because I was watching. I don't remember what movie it is, but the person in the movie was talking about how, if you pray or ask for patience, the universe doesn't just give you patience; it gives you opportunities to be patient. And I just feel like the universe or whatever is just like sending me so many opportunities to just work on and recognize the things that are, like you said, causing me pain, and try to find ways to get some relief. So it's just amazing. It's amazing how things work out and how things just like play out without us even really doing anything to make it happen. It just kind of happened. All of a sudden,
exactly. That's the way it's supposed to happen. So stop trying to make everything happen and let it happen. You see how beautifully perfect that is? You are being led to find the answers that you want to find, so that you can wake up more and more and more. And they are coming in. And everything can manifest like that. Easily, beautifully, without a lot of effort.
Right.
So this was a manifestation for you. And of course it was a manifestation for me as well, because like I said at the beginning of the call, I've been wanting to find a way to publish a call, but felt uncomfortable doing it with one of my existing clients, because I felt like it was unfair. So, perfect co-creation. Perfect co-creation.
Perfect. Hopefully we can speak again.
Definitely. I would love it. And you have a wonderful energy. You have a wonderful, wonderful energy. You are doing so much better than you know that you are doing.
Oh, man.
Honestly, you are. You are. I know there's a lot of doubt there and blah, blah, blah. You're doing
right.
so, so much better than you know that you're doing. And every time you see somebody who comes to you and says, you should be more aggressive, you can see how much better you're doing, because that point of view doesn't resonate with you at all anymore.
It doesn't.
That's how far you've come. That's how well you're doing right there.
Wow. Thanks, Melanie. Melody, I'm sorry.
No problem.
Melo.
Melody.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for this.
Thank
I really
you
appreciate
as well.
It.
Have a great
All right.
day and go get them, but not aggressively.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.